This morning, 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. And let's begin in verse number 1, a great passage of Scripture. In order to understand this passage of Scripture, you really need to go back and read 1 Corinthians chapter number 16 and verse number 1. Where the Apostle Paul said, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I've given order unto the churches of Galatia, even so do ye upon the first day of the week." And he talks about how that they needed to come together on the first day of the week and take up a special offering for the church that was in Judea that was suffering because of just a real hardship that was going on there. And so with that in mind, he writes to them a year later in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 and verse number 1, and he says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves." But what a great testimony, amen? They were willing of themselves to do something that they were unable to do themselves, but they believed in God that God could get it done. Amen? In verse number 4 it says, "Praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this we did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see thee abound in this grace also." Talking about the grace of giving. Verse 8, "I speak not by commandment, but by the occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice. For this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago." Paul said, you know, as you had planned to give the previous year, he says, "I want you to be forward a year ago." That's kind of almost double talk, isn't it? I want you to be forward a year ago. In other words, as you had planned a year previous, I want you to go ahead and follow through with what you're doing. It goes on in verse number 11, "Now therefore perform the doing of it." And Nike thought that they come out with "just do it." The Apostle Paul came out with it way before that. He says, "Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is acceptable, or is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened, but by equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that hath gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack." Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, I do ask and pray that as we look at your word today, teach us something, Lord, today from your word. And Lord, I pray that every child of God will be challenged, Lord, to take their life and give it to you. To let you, Lord, be Lord of their life. Not just Savior, but Lord. And Lord, we do ask and pray that if there's anyone in our midst that's lost, I pray, Lord, they get saved. Guide and direct now, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We've all heard the expression before, I'm sure, about people, they've said, you know what, I've given my all. And some people have given their all. I think of individuals on the mission field that have given their lives. I think of individuals that recently I was doing some study about the Druidic customs and everything that is surrounded around our Halloween system. And they would take individuals, the Druids would take individuals. How many of you ever heard of the whole thing about bobbing for apples? Yeah. The Druids would take Christians and other individuals and they would boil a pot of scalding water. I mean, boiling water and put apples in it. And then they would tie their hands behind their back and they had one chance to go ahead and stick their face in boiling water in order to go ahead and try to get an apple out. And if they did, their life was spared, but they would be horribly scarred. And many times they would end up going deaf from the scalding water going in their ears, or sometimes would their lungs would be scarred because of the water going inside. And if they did not get the apple on the first try, they would chop their head off. By the way, that's a part of Halloween tradition. Isn't that lovely? You know, it's just a fun time for kids. Well, not really. I mean, if we really study it out, we find that it really is not a fun time for kids. Although we try to make it fun today, or many people try to make it fun. As a Christian, I personally don't have anything to do with it. You shouldn't either. I think there's a better way to celebrate the harvest season. Amen. But you know, there's a lot of Christians that refuse to do that. And instead of sticking their face and their head in scalding, boiling hot water, they allow themselves to suffer martyrdom for the cause of Christ. I would say they gave their all. Amen? And there's other people that have said, you know what, I've given my whole heart to the matter. You know, it's a wonderful thing to sell out to God. I really believe that the only way you're going to have peace in your life, and you, listen, if you've been saved recently, or whether you've been saved a long time, it doesn't make any difference, I guess. The only way you're going to have peace in your life is you sell out to God. Because until you learn to sell out to God, and until you learn to go ahead and give your all to the Lord, you're never really going to have peace in your life. A lot could be said about the topic of giving your whole heart. In Proverbs 23 and verse 26, Solomon said, "My son, give me thine heart. And let thine eyes observe my ways." That's what the Lord wants. He wants us to give us our heart to Him. In Psalm 119 verse 10 it says, "With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." Even our Savior said in Matthew 6:21, it says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." By the way, don't quote it the way Al Gore quoted it while he was running for president. He actually reversed that verse and he said, "Where your heart is, there will your treasure be also." No, it's just the opposite. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And you know, therefore, I need to go ahead and invest in the right things and my heart will follow. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 and verse number 1 through 5, the Apostle Paul is describing the churches of Macedonia. And as a group of churches, they had a tremendous heart for missions and the work that the Apostle Paul was doing. The churches of Macedonia were a very impoverished people. The very impoverished people. They were poor and they were destitute themselves. And really, they could have used the love offering themselves in order to try to get by. But yet, they dug down and they tried to help the Apostle Paul's work in sending money and relief back to the churches of Judea because they were going through a great blight during that time. Now, I want you to notice what it says in verse 1. And I read this verse, and many times when I read verse number 1 and 2, I came up with the wrong conclusion just because of the way I was reading it. And I don't want you to get the wrong conclusion as you look at verse number 1 and 2. The Apostle Paul said, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit the grace of God which is bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia." Immediately, my attention went to the churches of Macedonia. and how that the grace of God was upon them. And you know, that's a wonderful thing. And I believe that everybody here today would say, you know what, I would like to have the grace of God upon me. Isn't that true? We would all like to have the grace of God upon us, and the Apostle Paul says, I want you to go ahead and I want you to take notice. And that's what the word wit means. He says, I would you to wit the grace of God. I want you to stop, I want you to recognize, but the real emphasis is not about the churches of Macedonia as it is the grace of God. By the way, what do you want in your life? Do you want God's blessings in your life? Do you want God's grace upon your life? If you do, maybe you, like the churches of Macedonia, or excuse me, like the church of Corinth, need to consider the churches of Macedonia and why they have the grace of God bestowed upon them. There's a reason why God poured out His grace upon the churches of Macedonia. And I want you to take notice this morning several things about the churches of Macedonia. And as I said, if you want to have God's blessings on your life, and if you want to have God's grace upon your life, then I think you need to consider these churches. Look at verse number 1 and 2 again. And I want you to notice with me this morning 8 things. And I'm going to be quick. I hope you'll write them down. I hope you apply them to your life. Because if you want to have God's grace in your life, and you know there's a lot of folks out there, they want God's grace, but they're not willing, as it says down in verse number 11, perform the doing of it. Amen? I think we need to go ahead and get it done. And so I want you to notice this morning 8 things that will give you a heart for missions. 8 things that will allow the grace of God to be bestowed upon you as an individual and as collectively the grace of God being bestowed upon this place, Grace Baptist Church. As a pastor, I want God's blessings here. As a pastor, I want the grace of God to fall upon this place. I hope you do too. How can we have that? How can I have that individually? How can we collectively, as a body of believers, how can we do that? Verse number 1 and 2, Paul says, Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. The very first thing I think you need to consider is this. If you want to have God's blessings on your life, and if this church is going to have the grace of God poured out upon it like the churches of Macedonia did, number one, you cannot limit God. Amen? You cannot limit God. And how many times we as individuals and as believers limit God? You remember when the children of Israel were walking through the wilderness and God led them out of Egypt? And after a few days, they began to be thirsty. They began to be hungry, and they come to Moses and they said, Can the Lord provide us a table in the wilderness? Can He feed us? Can He give us a water to drink? And I don't need to remind you that in Exodus chapter number 16, how that God fed them with manna from heaven. And it wasn't but a few chapters later we find that God told Moses to go to a rock and take his rod and strike the rock. And all of a sudden water flowed out of that rock and fed them all. You know, if you looked at the children of Israel, right away they wanted to go ahead and limit God. What, you know, God cannot take care of us all. We're so many people. God can't feed us and God can't water us. But yet God was able. Amen? In turn over to John chapter number 6. I want you to see something this morning. In John chapter number 6, this is one of several times when the Lord Jesus Christ fed the multitude. And in John chapter number 6, in verse number 2, it says, And there was a great multitude that followed Him because they saw the miracles which He did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into the mountain, and there He sat with His disciples, and the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was nigh. And when Jesus lifted up His eyes, and He saw the great company come unto Him, He saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this He said to prove Him, for He Himself knew what He would do. And Philip answered Him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that everyone, one of them may take a little. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. By the way, Andrew is a really interesting fella. Andrew is always the one that was the front man that was believing God and trusting God for something great. And if you go through the Bible and you'll study out about Andrew, Andrew was the get-it-done disciple. He really was. And it says here, there was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a little lad here which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes. But what are they among so many? I think Andrew had an idea that Jesus was going to do something big. Amen? And he said, you know, what are these among so many? You know, we need to be careful that we don't end up limiting God. The disciples, here was a multitude that sat down in the Gospel of Matthew. It describes this incident that there was 5,000 men plus women and children. Some estimate there could have been as many as 20,000 people. That's a lot of Wonder Bread, amen. And that's a lot of fish. But you know, they went ahead and they had a plan to get this all done. And if you look here in verse number 6, we find that there was a problem. In verse number 9, Jesus there was a provision that was made there, those five loaves and the small fishes. And yet we find that there was a plan. And Jesus said in verse number 10 that there was much grass, make the men sit down in number about 5,000. And then Jesus, this is the person. Jesus took the bread and he broke the bread and he gave it to the disciples and the disciples gave to the people. God's got a plan to get it done. You know, if we want to go ahead and have the grace of God bestowed upon us, and we want to have the grace of God and the blessings of God fall upon this place, number one, we cannot limit God. And many times we'll go ahead and say, you know what, I can't be involved in this. I can't do this. I cannot help in this certain way because I just don't have the means. I don't have the income. You may not, but God does. Amen. God owns the cattle on the thousand hills, the wealth in every mine, and God is not limited. And we just need to learn to trust God. I've seen situations where doctors have said, you know, it's just a hopeless situation. Only to see God heal that individual. God is not limited. I've heard people tell me, preacher, I just cannot afford to tithe. And I challenge them, you go ahead and tithe, and if God doesn't make it up at the end of the year, I'll pay you personally back myself. Because I believe that God blesses. And I've watched time after time when people have took me up on that challenge. And every time I give that challenge, my wife just goes, oh no. And, she says, what happens if somebody isn't faithful? I says, God will take care of it. And God is. God has. But I'm here to tell you, we should not limit God. And this church should not limit God. You say, well, preacher, what do you think God can do here at Grace Baptist Church in the future? I don't know, but I'm willing to trust Him. And I've got plans. And I've got a vision about the next 5 years, and the next 10 years, and the next 20 years, and the next 30 years, and what God would have for this place, and God would have for you as His people. Amen? You say, you've got plans for 30 years? That's right. I won't be that old. I won't be 85. Amen? Dr. Lee Robertson preached till he was 97, I think 98. That'd give me about 10 years for retirement. Amen? Maybe. Maybe I'll just keep going until the Lord calls. So number one, listen. You want to have the grace of God bestowed upon you, like the churches of Macedonia? Number one, you make sure that you do not limit God. Because the churches of Macedonia, even though they were poor, and even though they were impoverished, He said, I want you to recognize the grace of God that was bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia. How that even though they were impoverished and they were poor, they went ahead and gave above and beyond what their physical abilities were able to do. And listen, we should not, number one, limit God. Number two, they had a willing heart. Go back to number one. They didn't limit God. Look at Ephesians 3:20. Look there, please. Take your Bible. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. You ought to memorize this verse. You ought to put this someplace that's very visible. In the church in Fostoria, the little storefront church that we met in, they had this right behind the pulpit. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. You see that? God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Verse number 20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Number one, don't limit God. Number two, look at verse number 3 of the same chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. It says, for to their power I bear record. Yea, and beyond their power, everybody say this last part with me. They were willing of themselves. They were willing of themselves. In other words, not only they didn't limit God, but the reason why the grace of God was bestowed upon them, they had a willing heart for the things of God. They had a willing heart for the things of God. Now, I think each and every one of us need to be willing, amen? We need to be willing to trust God, amen? Are you willing to trust God? There was a man that was driving through the mountains of the Appalachians, and as he was driving, he was messing with his instruments, and all of a sudden he missed a curve. And as he hit the guardrail, his door flew open, and his car plummeted over the side, and he flew out. And there he was, his car was about 250 foot below him, crashed and burning, and he is hanging onto this little limb that's starting to pull out of the side of the cliff. And he hollers out, help! Is there anybody up there? Help! And he did this for several minutes. Help, please! Is there anybody up there? And all of a sudden there was a voice that says, this is God. Just let go and I'll take care of you. And all of a sudden there was a voice, this guy started crying out again. He says, help, is there anybody else up there? You know, that's the way we approach things. We're willing to trust everything and everyone but God. Amen? By the way, I want to ask you a question this morning. How many of you are here are saved? Can I see your hand? This is a home folk crowd this morning. Okay, you know the Lord is your Savior. Praise the Lord. That's a wonderful thing. You know when you get saved, the Bible says that your name is written down in heaven. You know that? How many of you have ever seen heaven? How many of you have ever seen the book? Anybody seen the book that your name is written in? How many of you have ever seen the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for you? Anybody seen the cross? Now you, there may have been somebody that's been to Israel and gone to Jerusalem, and you may have even seen Golgotha, but have you ever really seen those things? Anybody ever seen God? You know, it's amazing that we'll go ahead and we'll be absolutely 100% sure and confident that we're on our way to a heaven that we have never seen, that we pray to a God that we've never seen, that people have given their lives to the cause of Christ that they've never seen. And we're willing to trust God, and rightfully so. We're willing to trust God for what we cannot see, but we're not willing to trust God for what we can see. Amen? They had a willing heart. They had a willing heart to trust God. That's what made the churches of Macedonia special. They were willing to trust God for the future. And they said, by the grace of God, as we committed a year ago, we're going to follow through by the grace of God, even though we're poor and we really can't do this and we really can't afford this, we're going to go ahead and we're going to follow through. The Bible says they were willing of themselves. In other words, they were willing to be personally involved. A person that does not have a willing heart will never serve God effectively. Brother Don in Sunday school this morning was talking about individual soul liberty. There's an old statement, Brother Don. It says, "He that is convinced against his will is unconvinced still." And you know what? If as a pastor, I can probably try to coerce people into serving God. And I can probably try to twist people's arm about, man, you need to do this, you need to get involved here. But you know what? It's not going to make any difference unless you have a willing heart. Would to God we'd all have a willing heart. But that's between you and the Lord. As a pastor, I need to admonish. As a pastor, I need to encourage. As a pastor, I need to challenge people. But I can't make you have a willing heart. And the reason why the churches of Macedonia was blessed was because they had a desire and they had a willing heart to serve God. Would to God we'd all have a willing heart. And there are those that are here today probably that need to let the Lord have His way in their lives. We need to commit our ways unto the Lord and our thoughts will be established. They had a willing heart for the things of God, verse number 3. They were willing of themselves. Look at verse number 4. I want you to notice the third thing. They had a focused desire. They had a focused desire. This is one of the reasons why the churches of Macedonia were blessed by God. Because they had a focused desire. What is the focus of your desires of life? You say, "Preacher, I don't have any desires." Sure you do. Every person here today has desires that they would like to see accomplished in their life. Every person. If you don't have any desires, you're already dead. Nobody's notified you. All right? You've got desires. And it says in verse number 4, "praying us with much entreaty." This is what the church of Macedonia, that phrase there, "praying us with much entreaty," it shows the desire of their heart. The churches of Macedonia was saying, "Paul, please let us get involved in this work. Let us help you. Let us go ahead and supply for those churches that are in Judea and to try to be a help and try to be a blessing to them." See, this phrase shows us their earnest desire. It shows us their heart. And then it goes on, it says in verse number 4, it says that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship. Everybody understands what fellowship is? The word fellowship means two fellows in a ship. That's what it means. It means joint participation. And if you've got two fellows in a ship, they're both under the same circumstances, they're both going to the same place, they ought to be rowing the same direction. Amen? Now, sometimes that doesn't happen. I can testify that personally by watching my wife and daughter go down to the Sandusky River in the canoe. My daughter was rowing one way, she was rowing the other. They didn't stay upright very long. I can just tell you that right now. But here we find that they had a focused desire. "Praying us with much entreaty, they gave themselves to the Lord." A person must learn to die to self, to have the desire of God in their lives. I've talked to a number of individuals in the past few years. Not just one, but a number of them. And this is their statement. "Preacher, I don't have any desire anymore. I don't have any desire anymore to read my Bible. I don't have any desire to pray. I don't have any desire to go to church. I just don't have any desire to do anything." Then call it what you want to call it, but just call it being backslidden. Or call it being lost. The Bible says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." When I got saved, nobody had to twist my arm to go to church. I wanted to go to church. And you know what? I still want to go to church. I live for going to church. I do. I love going to church. I love being here on Sunday morning and Sunday night. Matter of fact, I love it so much, I show up on Saturday night and I show up throughout the week. I just love being here. You say, "But yeah, but you get paid to do it." I love to do it before I got paid. Amen? You see, God put a desire in my heart about being in the house of God. I don't want to miss anything. I don't want to miss a blessing from God. And we just need to learn to die to self. The Bible says they gave themselves unto the Lord. And then the Bible says in this verse, they gave themselves unto us. In other words, under the work of the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians 16. I want you to notice what the Word of God has to say. He says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given, what's that next word? Order. He didn't give a suggestion. The Apostle Paul gave an order. Amen? That's what the Bible says. He gave an order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye, upon the first day of the week. What day is that? Oh, Sunday. You know, that's another reason why we come together. Because not only the disciples came together on Sunday on the first day of the week and they worshiped God, did the work of God, but here the Apostle Paul said the collection should be taken on the first day of the week. You say, what's so special about the first day of the week? It's the day of the Lord. It is the day in which Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Amen? It ought to be special in our lives. It says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whosoever you shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality, in other words, their giving, unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through, what's that next word? Macedonia. Now that's what we were talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, the churches of Macedonia. He says, here it talks about how that they'll go through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia. So here we find the Apostle Paul told them, you go ahead and you gather up this offering to help these churches, and now in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, he is just repeating himself. And so they gave themselves unto the work of the Apostle Paul. And then it says, this was all done by the will of God. Notice what it says. It says in verse 5, this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. That's what all of us need to do. Amen? That's what we all need to do. And unto us by the will of God. What is God's will? Well, the Bible tells us what God's will is. God's will is according to God's Word. You know, Brother Ray, God's will is not according to how you feel. It's according to God's Word. Genie, it's not according to whether the sun shines or it doesn't shine. It's according to God's Word. And you know what? Brother, we might be able to go ahead and we might say, you know what? I just don't feel like it today. But you know what? It doesn't make any difference how we feel about it. That's not going to necessarily mean whether it's God's will or not. It's God's will is based on God's Word. Amen? So what is God's will? The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What is God's will? God's will is for people to be saved. Amen? Amen? God's will is for people to be saved. He said in Mark chapter number 16, verse number 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said in Matthew chapter number 28, verse number 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. You see, it's God's will for us to go out into all the world and tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. That is God's will. I think everybody here today would say, amen, preacher, that is God's will. And I think we're all in agreement with that. You see, God's will is missions. God's will is missions. You say, how do you know that? It tells us in the Word. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The Bible tells us that God sent not His Son into the world. According to John chapter number 3. God sent not His Son into the world. And all of a sudden my mind just went completely blank. I have no idea what the rest of the verse said. Turn back to John chapter number 3. It's a wonderful thing to get old. Verse number 17, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. Thank you. All right. It's amazing how you can get a brain fade right in the middle of something. Maybe I should have had 2 cups of coffee this morning. And so we find here they had a focused desire. You want to have the grace of God bestowed upon you? have a focused desire. What was their focus? It was missions. It was trying to see people saved. It was trying to get the gospel out to the world. What are you doing individually to fulfill the Great Commission? Say, well, preacher, I'm going to church, I'm tithing. Well, praise the Lord. But that is not fulfilling the Great Commission. That's only just being obedient. Amen? What are you doing personally to get the world, the gospel out to the world? Dr. Wash Pennington, a number of years ago, said, you know, I've got a burden to fulfill the Great Commission in my life personally. And so he started printing gospel tracts. He started printing a few thousand at a time on his photocopy machine in his office. And then he would pass them out. Later he bought a printing press and he started printing thousands of them. And then now they have printed up several billion tracts and have distributed them free of charge all the way around the world through Fellowship Tract League. He is trying to fulfill the Great Commission personally. You say, well, preacher, I don't know what I could do. Have you prayed about it? Have you individually prayed and said, Lord, how can I reach the world with the gospel of Christ? That's one of the reasons why the Lord led me to start this church. As a headquarter, as a hub, as a center, to try to reach out to the world. Right now, we support 48 missionaries going out around the world. I would like to see us support 50 and 60 and one day maybe even 100 missionaries around the world. I'd like to go ahead and see us take our teenagers on some mission trips. I've got missionaries that's invited us to go to Zambia and some that's invited us to go to Costa Rica. I've had missionaries invite us to go to Mexico and Belize. I've had missionaries invite us to go to different places. You know, that'd be a wonderful experience for our kids. Amen. It'd be a wonderful experience for the preacher and you too. But you know, each and every one of us need to have a focused desire. The Church of Macedonia had a focused desire. Number four, I want you look at verse 6 through 8. I need to get going along here. It says, insomuch that we desired Titus that he, as he had begun, so he would finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and in utterance and in knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see thee abound in this grace also. Talking about the grace of giving. And so here we need to understand this. Not only they didn't limit God, and they had a willing heart for the things of God. They had a focused desire, and that was on the work of God and missions. But they had godly admonishers. They had godly admonishers. They had people there that was admonishing them and instructing them on how they ought to go ahead and get the work of God done. We find in verse number 6 that Titus was left at Corinth to help them follow through with their commitment to the Lord. We find in verse number 7 and 8 the Apostle Paul was there to encourage them to abound in everything. Look what it says there in verse 7. Abound in everything. They were to abound in faith and they were to abound in utterance. That's the communication of the Word. They were to abound in knowledge. They're abound in diligence and their love for the Apostle Paul. And in the grace of giving. They had a great admonisher. Encouraged them to abound in everything. And then look at verse number 8. The Apostle Paul said, I don't want you to just serve me with lip service. He says, I want you to prove the sincerity of your love. Fellas, I hope you remember, yesterday was Sweetest Day. I hope I just didn't get you in trouble. You know, I've heard people say, well, you know, preacher, that's just a man-made holiday. Aren't they all, really? I mean, pretty much. And you know, I think that if we're going to try to keep a little spark in the marriage from time to time, it's good to go ahead and do things like that. Boy, it's quiet in here. It really is. So yesterday I went up and I got a card and I got a big bouquet of flowers and brought them home to my wife. And prayer meeting last night, I told the fellas, I said, you remember, it's Sweetest Day. And one of them said, you know what, I think maybe I ought to stop at the store on the way home. I said, I think that'd be a good idea. I hope he did. Erica says he did. Just trying to help you out a little, all right? They had godly admonishers. You know, that's why God gives you a preacher. Brother Trammell this past week was a great admonisher and encouraging people to be involved in missions. It was a blessing to me what he had to say this week. And then look at verse number 9. The churches of Macedonia, the reason why they had the grace of God bestowed upon them and the reason why they had the blessings of God, they had Jesus Christ as a heavenly example. I don't understand how a person can say that they're saved and they can take a good look at Jesus Christ and they can look at what Jesus Christ did for them on the cross of Calvary and how that He was beaten and tortured and how that He was nailed to that cross and how that He shed His blood for you and I. And I don't know how in the world a saved person can say, you know what, I believe all of that stuff, but I have no desire to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a problem there. There's a problem. The Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 12 in verse number 1 and 2, serving God, it's just our reasonable service. It's reasonable. After all that Jesus Christ has done for us, to give Him a few hours of our life and be in church and witness to people and tell other people about the Lord Jesus Christ, it's just reasonable. They had a heavenly example. For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor. Yet that ye through His poverty might be rich. He left the glories of heaven to come down and dwell in this sin-cursed world. To live a sinless life and to die a sinner's death for you and for me. Why did the churches of Macedonia have the grace of God bestowed upon them? Because they understood that they had a heavenly example to follow. And they realized it's just the least that we can do. Christ left it all that we might gain all. Jesus Christ was the greatest missionary that ever lived. I think we need to follow His example. And then, look at verse number 10. The Apostle Paul says, and herein I give my advice. For this is expedient for you. Now that word expedient means advantageous. It means profitable. It means helpful. How many of you want a little help? Amen? I do. Do you want to have an advantageous Christian life? I do. I want to get ahead in my Christian life. I want to be the head and not the tail. Amen? I think we've got it all backwards. I think most everybody in our country today thinks it's best to be the tail and just be wagged around by our government and everybody else. I think I'd rather be the head. It says here in verse number 10, and herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before. Who have begun what before? They started the offerings before. They started planning before. They started putting things together to help out for the future. It says, who have begun before, verse number 10, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. In other words, as you have planned in a year in the past, go ahead and get it done now. Look at verse number 11. So we see here, they made a promise, verse number 10, by faith. Dr. A.B. Simpson, years ago, old missionary, Christian Missionary Alliance pastor, came up with the idea of faith promise missions. And he used verse number 10 of this text to show how the churches of Macedonia had said, you know what, there is a need, and we are by faith going to be forward in this and trust God. Faith promise is not a pledge to the church. It is not just a commitment that we make. but it is trusting God to do something by faith that we are unable to do ourselves. If we had $1 million, and I know that nobody here does, I'm sure we don't, but if we had $1 million, would we be willing to give part of that to missions? I looked up on our computer the other day, and since 1995, since we put our finances on the computer and we run Quicken here as a program at our church, as of, well, actually before last week, there was $493,000 that came in for missions. Anybody have $500,000 to give? I don't. But you know what? Collectively, that's what this church has been able to do since 1995. Just specifically for missions. None of that money has stayed here. It's gone to Mexico, Canada, Israel, China, Brazil, all over the world. One person can't do it all, but everybody can do something. And we find here that they made a promise. Paul wanted them to follow through with their step of faith. It says, who have begun before. Paul wanted them to plan and to live and to follow through by faith. This was a promise by faith to be forward a year ago. And by the grace of God, I am going to plan to go ahead and give, the churches of Macedonia said. I am going to plan by faith. I don't have it, but I believe that God can go ahead and give me that so I can give it away. Say, preacher, it sounds like a gimmick. It sounds like a step of faith is what it is. I wonder if you could every week say, Lord, could you give me an extra $50? And if you give me an extra $50, I'll give it to missions. Could you do that? Say, I never heard of such a thing. Really? It's called being forward. Where there is no plan, there won't be any performance. Maybe we ought to plan to give by faith. The Bible says without faith it is impossible to please Him. So Paul wanted them to plan and to live and to follow through by faith. This was a promise by faith to be forward a year ago. Now look at verse number 11. I'm just about done. Now therefore, perform the doing of it. He said, just get it done. He said, follow through with what you were planning a year ago. Follow through with it now. Get it done. It says that as there was a readiness to will. In other words, they had a willing heart before. So therefore, there may be a performance also out of that which you have. Look at verse number 15. I'm just going to go right ahead. So their promise was by faith. They had a commandment from the Apostle Paul, verse number 11, perform the doing of it. Notice it says there, as there was, in verse number 11, that as there was a readiness, that's past tense. That's talking about a year prior. That's talking about being forward a year ago. Now, get it done, verse number 11. So why did the church of Macedonia, the churches of Macedonia, why were they blessed? And why did they have the grace of God upon them? Well, because they had a commandment from the Apostle Paul. And then verse number 15, they had a promise from the Lord. Child of God, listen to me. You cannot outgive God. You cannot outgive God. As it is written, he that gathered much had nothing over. And he that gathered little had no lack. In other words, if you put your focus and your attention on giving to missions as God gives to you, you give it to them, God's going to go ahead and see that your needs are met. Amen? Let me share a couple verses with you and I'm going to be done. Verse that Brother Trammell quoted all week long. Luke 6:38. I quote it often. You ought to underline this verse in your Bible. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give in your bosoms. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. In other words, as you give to God, God is going to give back to you. Look over at Malachi chapter 3. Look at verse number 10. Malachi chapter number 3 and verse number 10. He said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. By the way, in verse number 8, it talks about tithes and offerings. He says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. That was the local assembly place. That was the treasury. That there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. Now notice this. If I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it. You want to have God's blessings on your life? Be involved in tithing and be involved in giving above and beyond your tithe and offerings. I'm telling you, it works. And I could go ahead and I could have individuals stand and give testimony. And I've had people come to me and they said, preacher, I am so far behind in debt, I cannot afford to tithe. I said, just try it for 1 year. If you will try it for 1 year and God does not bless you, I'll pay it back. And I make that a promise to anyone here. If you will go ahead and be faithful over the 90% that God allows you to keep, I'll guarantee you that God will bless you. And He will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. There is not room enough to receive it. Is it true, brother? I could tell you story after story of individuals that put God to the test. And God has always proven to be faithful. It says in verse number 11, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Boy, I tell you what, we need to have old slew foot rebuked, amen? We need to have the devil put it in his place. He needs to just go back to hell and stay there. Amen? But right now, his job is to try to steal and to rob and to kill and to destroy. He's trying to do all those things to the child of God. You see, they had a promise from the Lord. Look over at Proverbs chapter 3. Say, preacher, it's lunchtime. I'm trying to feed you, all right? I'm trying to feed you. Proverbs 3, look at verse number 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. That's talking about the tithe, amen? Now notice the next verse. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst forth with new wine. Do you want to have your barns filled? Do you want to have joy in your life, your presses bursting forth with new wine? Then you honor the Lord with the first fruits of all thine increase. Honor the Lord with thy substance. You know, it's amazing how many times people will honor themselves. I'll close with one verse. You know, they honor the Lord with themselves and they don't give the Lord the portion what is due Him. And then they wonder why they struggle. And are you tithing? Are you giving? Are you giving by faith? Philippians 4:19. By the way, this verse is directly connected to missions giving. And as we give to missions, this verse is applicable. If you don't give to missions, you cannot claim this verse. Because in the context, that's what this is really talking about. In verse number 19, it says, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Isn't that a wonderful verse? It really is. It's a wonderful verse. That verse applies to those who are involved in the work of missions. The churches of Macedonia had the blessings of God and the grace of God that was bestowed upon them because they had a heart for missions. Where's your heart this morning? Somebody, if you're saved today, somebody had a heart for you. And somebody took the gospel to you. And there's people around your neighborhood and around your community and around this state and around the world that needs to have the gospel. And the only way it's going to get there, if you send somebody to them or personally go yourself. I can't go everywhere. But I can help support those who go. And I wish and I hope and pray that you get a hold of this message. And if you will put missions in your life, and it becomes the desire of your heart, I'm telling you, God will meet your needs and He will supply, by faith, He will supply what you desire to give to missions. I'll close with a story. A number of years ago, there was a man by the name of Samuel Tams. That might not mean a whole lot to you right now, but it will. Samuel Tams started a factory called the U.S. Plastic Factory. And Samuel Tams said, I'm going to give this factory to God. And he said, every bit of profit that we have out of this factory is going to go towards missions. Finally, he found a lawyer to draw up the paperwork. Nobody wanted to touch it. Finally, they found a lawyer to draw up the paperwork, and they literally gave the business to God. And all proceeds, besides salaries and overhead and all those things, all profits went to fund missionaries around the world. And if you drive down I-75, down by Lima, Ohio, you'll see a factory on the as you're driving south on the right-hand side, a big yellow factory with blue letters and a cross that says, Christ is the answer. And that is Samuel Tams' company. All profits from that business, according to his book, was going towards missions. And you'll notice out front, there are flags from every country out there just about. Because he believed in missions. You want to have your needs met, and you want to have the grace of God bestowed upon you. You want to have God's blessings upon you. Get involved in missions. Amen. And God will bless. Let's bow our heads, please. With every head bowed and with every eye closed. Today, if the Lord has spoken to you, we'd invite you to come. Maybe it's just to come and say, Lord, speak to my heart about how I can be involved in missions. Everybody can pray. And I believe by faith, even if it's just two mites, everybody can give. Even children can give. I wonder if you'd be willing to say, Lord, here I am. Have your way in my life. Have your way in my life concerning missions. We're not going to sing an invitation to Him. They're just going to play. But if the Lord has spoken to you, would you join me at the altar tonight or this morning and say, Lord, speak to my heart about missions. Some soul out there needs to be saved. Who's going to go to them? Father in heaven, Lord, help us to be like the churches of Macedonia. Help us, Lord, not to limit You. And Lord, help us to be involved. Help us, Lord, to be willing of ourselves. Certainly, that's where the blessings of God fall. I pray, Lord, that You guide and direct. Speak to our hearts, Lord, about missions and seeing people saved. Help us, Lord, to act by faith and to be forward a year ago as they were. We ask it in Jesus' name. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, the instruments play. Would you come and join me this morning? Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Would you be involved in worldwide evangelism? Would you be involved in missions this morning? Would you come and say, Lord, speak to my heart about missions? Would you come? Father in heaven, Lord, as we come before you today, we are so thankful, Lord, for your word. Help us, Lord, to be like the churches of Macedonia. Help us, Lord, to act by faith. And even though we may be struggling personally ourselves, each and every one of us we know can put our faith in thee, who owns the cattle on the thousand hills and the wealth never mind. Lord, help us to trust thee. Not just trusting thee for that which we cannot see, but trusting that which we can see. Help us, Lord, to be faithful stewards over the resources that you give us. And, Lord, help us to be found faithful. I pray, Lord, that you'd help every child of God, Lord, just to help them to see the need of being personally involved in reaching the world with the gospel of Christ. Help us, Lord, like they of Macedonia, to be willing of themselves. Now, Father, we ask and pray that you dismiss us from this place, but, Lord, not from thy presence. Bring us back again tonight that we might be able to hear Dr. Mark Smith and the power of the gospel track. Lord, help us to be encouraged, Lord, by the words that he says and, Lord, by the fellowship of the believers and, Lord, by your presence. Now, Father, we ask and pray, Lord, for your help, your guiding hand. Dismiss us from this place. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.